Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Robert Venable. We welcome you once again to this broadcast on WMAF. Let's talk about Jesus. If you don't know the name of it by now, we want to introduce ourselves to you today. We minister out of Tampa, Florida. We are affiliated with the Independent Assemblies of God International out of San Diego, California. Have been affiliated with them since 1974. And we are so happy to be on WMAF bringing you this teaching broadcast. And we pray you'll take time out of your busy day for the Word of God. Time to meditate in the things of the Lord. Something that will feed your spirit and soul. And we're just excited about coming to you and bringing you a message that I believe can be life-changing. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, I pray you'll stay tuned for a little while. You know, I can't come there and twist your arm, so you don't have to be intimidated by this broadcast. Just stay tuned. If you're a seeker, if you're inquisitive, if you want to know more about this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, please stay tuned to this broadcast. If you haven't heard yet, we have another broadcast on Sunday from 12 p.m. until 1 p.m. It is an excerpt from a live service, a live Sunday service. If you would like to tune into that, we would be so happy to invite you to. You may be getting out of church about that time. If you can go to church, and we invite you to tune in. If you want some more good preaching and teaching under the anointing, and if you are in a situation where you can't attend your local church, and you would like to make us part of your devotional life, we would be so honored if you would listen to this broadcast on Sunday afternoon. We believe you're going to be challenged. We don't pull any punches. We preach directly from the Scripture. The Bible is the basis for all of our beliefs. We don't believe that it needs to be edited. We believe it needs to remain in its original form. And we believe that is the basis of truth. God has preserved it down through the centuries, and in the postmodern world, the Word of God is still the ultimate absolute authority. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful to be a preacher of His gospel today. We've been talking about the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want to read our foundational scripture once again, Acts 26:13-19. It's Paul's testimony to King Agrippa, and in this testimony to King Agrippa, Paul tells about his personal calling, what he is called to do in terms of his ministry, Jesus, to wherever God would send him. This calling is not just Paul's calling as an apostle. It's every person who is called to preach the gospel's calling as well. Now, I want you to listen to it, and we're going to put it in context, 13 through 19 of Acts 26. But verse 18 is going to bring us three great truths today about the preaching and proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the intent? What does God want to achieve? What kind of spiritual forces come against the gospel, and what kind of spiritual forces are behind us when we preach it? Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read from Scripture today, Acts 26, verse 13 through 19. Here's Paul's testimony. He said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee.'" Listen to verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God." I want to read that again. Listen carefully. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We talked last week about the fact that this gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to illuminate. And it has the power, not just the darkness of ignorance, but the darkness of spiritual blindness. There's a difference in intellectual ignorance, not being able to understand something that we are ignorant of, we don't have knowledge of. But it goes beyond that, because there are spiritual forces, according to the Scripture, that blinds the minds of men to the reality of eternity, to the reality. I know a lot of people may say they know it in their mind, but I'm not talking about just what we perceive mentally, but what we actually know in our heart. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Once again, we're talking about illumination. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men. And I said last week, the battle for the soul begins with the battle for the mind. The battle for the mind cannot be won through mere intellectual persuasion. The mind of fallen man is blinded by a spiritual force, and it will take a spiritual force to liberate it. God has given us spiritual weaponry and supernatural assistance in order to preach this powerful gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." Now we're going to go on today, so look with me again at more scripture at Isaiah 42 verses 1 through 7. These words give clarity to Christ's words in the New Testament when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind." Listen to the prophetic words concerning the Messiah in Isaiah 42 verse 1. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail or be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will hold thine hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." You know, when we think of opening the blind eyes, generally we think of blind Bartimaeus, or someone that Christ worked the miracle of the returning of their sight to their natural eyes. But this is a deeper truth that we're dealing with here. Before prisoners can come out of the prison house, their eyes have to be open. God doesn't just jerk people out of that prison house that sin has put them in. He first illuminates them so that they can choose. They have the option of choosing light over darkness. You know, there are many sins that can condemn our soul, but there's one sin above all sins, because all sin can be forgiven except the sin of refusing the gospel of Jesus Christ, of literally rejecting and resisting the Holy Ghost to the end. Listen to this statement of Jesus. He said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness more than light. And the reason we know that he was talking about people who had been illuminated, there is another scripture that said, when they knew him, they would not confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The mind has to be illuminated before we have the option of making the choice. And that illumination of the mind is not just intellectual persuasion. It's great to come out of a seminary with you know, hermeneutics and homiletics and all the tools we need for ministry. There's nothing at all wrong with studying the Bible and studying how to put a sermon together. But when we stand behind that pulpit and when I get behind this microphone, I am more dependent on the Holy Spirit than any other force or any other ability, no matter how finely tuned we may be in preaching the gospel. It is not our eloquence, it is not our intellectual persuasion that is going to do the job. It is a spiritual breakthrough that pierces the darkness that holds people in spiritual blindness. Amen. So Jesus was anointed to open the eyes of the blind. And Paul was called to open the eyes of the blind. This mighty deliverer, this wonderful Savior, initiates victory by opening the eyes of the blind, then setting the captives free from the prison house of darkness. It's an incredible truth, even to understand as Christians, to get the revelation of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. It involves the Holy Spirit working to open our spiritual eyes and give us spiritual understanding. Let me just read a scripture out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus and for all of us for that matter, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17 of Ephesians 1, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it goes on to talk about what we actually possess in Jesus Christ. But this, again, is God granting the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. This is more than intellectual knowledge. This is truth revealed to the heart by the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was talking to Simon Peter? And he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter entered into this dialogue, and he said, you know, some say you're Elijah reincarnated and back from the dead or whatever. Some say you're this. I mean, there was all kinds of speculation from people who probably, you know, were maybe even some people that were part of the Sanhedrin, the great religious leadership and order of that day. But he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And here's this common fisherman, this blue-collar man, without this great theological background and without skipping a beat, Peter immediately answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know something, Peter? Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If we're going to stand against this great spiritual enemy, this entity called the devil, we're going to have to begin to depend more on the spiritual resources that God has given us. Amen. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we find out that we are up against an enemy for the souls of men. And we're up against an enemy in our personal life. This is a powerful gospel. And there's no way to preach this gospel effectively unless we are able to succeed in spiritual warfare. The devil's just not going to lay back and let people go free without a fight for their soul. I don't know how it was with you when you came to Christ, but when I came to Christ, the real battle went on for my soul. And I had to make the choice, and there was a force that pushed against me coming to Jesus Christ. Let me read this about the enemy, the armor, the area of battle, and the victorious result, which is effective evangelism. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Well, let's really begin with verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." We see our enemy here is spiritual, and here's spiritual armor to combat him. In verse 13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That's the armor that God has given us, a spiritual armament that we can fight effectively. But next is the arena of battle. He says, praying always. After he teaches us to put our armor on and teaches us that we have a spiritual enemy and we need spiritual armament, then here is the arena of battle. Really, right here is where the battle for the souls of men and the battle in our battles in our personal life against the enemy is going to be won or lost. And that's in the arena of prayer. I was in Washington, D.C. years and years ago. They invited one pastor out of every state in the United States. It was done by computer, and God arranged it. Hallelujah. I don't believe in happenstance. I believe the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and we're led of the Spirit. So I ended up being picked from the state of Florida to attend a meeting with Christian politicians in Washington, D.C., and to have prayer together. And what a time it was. What speakers I heard and in Washington, D.C. And during that time, we begin to understand and appreciate the fact that there is an absolute battle going on for the souls of men. And it was there in Washington, D.C. that I heard the testimony of Gregory Vins, who had been delivered from the terrible prison camp in Russia for preaching the gospel. He had been incarcerated. He was actually, they told him he would never, ever get out of jail. He would die in this terrible prison camp in Soviet Russia, out in the frozen cold, working hard labor. This man's heart began to kind of sink. And there was churches in America that heard about this man who was in prison because he was baptizing believers in Soviet Russia. And they begin to pray, and they begin to seek God for this man that was in prison. Just like the early church sought God for Peter, who was imprisoned, and they would have killed him, but God sent an angel. Hallelujah. God sent an angel. This is supernatural deliverance. Whether we see a visible angel or whether God moves circumstances in such a way to answer prayer, we need to combat the enemy with supernatural armor and supernatural victories that only can come as we engage the enemy in spiritual warfare and we begin to move into that arena of prayer after we put our armor on, where we begin to pray effectively in spite of the forces of darkness, where we engage God's power. I don't want to preach just because I have preached for 35 years and I can remember certain sermon topics and certain stories to tell. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to lean on Him. I want Him to somehow take my words and penetrate the darkness of the heart, if there's darkness in the heart. I want to see people, amen, turned from darkness to life. I want to see those eyes blinded by the devil to be illuminated so that they can see this great offer of God that constitutes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. They begin to pray for Gregory Vins, and they all, one church, I think it was in Minnesota, they got put on wristbands with his name on it, and they started a prayer chain. Well, you know, something happened. We had some people that we had captured for spying, and they decided they wanted to make a trade after weeks of protracted prayer, and they decided to turn this man loose if we could make a deal and turn some of their people loose. And God worked out a diplomatic miracle while the Iron Curtain was still up between the United States and Soviet Russia, and they bartered for a preacher of the gospel, and he was able to come and bring his family to the United States of America. And what a privilege it was to hear Gregory Vins, amen, speak in the Capitol Hilton Hotel. But what really impressed me, even though tears were in everyone's eyes when he finished, was the power of prayer. When people begin to move into that arena and begin to pray earnestly, if spiritual forces are pushed back by the enemy and God's power is brought to bear upon a circumstance or a situation. I also heard while I was in Washington, D.C., a man talking about prayer and intercession. And one of the things that he brought about was, he said, you can have the greatest champion in the world, a man that could beat anybody living in the Bronx in New York City. But if you can't get him to Madison Square Garden on the night of the fight, you lose by default. And then he related that to prayer. He said, we have at our disposal the mightiest spiritual force that anyone could possibly engage, and that is God's very power brought to bear upon a circumstance or a situation or even an enemy. We have the power of prayer, but if we don't enter into that arena, amen, we lose by default. And I believe that there's a lot of victories that are being lost by default because we're over dependent on our abilities, our eloquence, our intellectual abilities that we have honed instead of the mighty Holy Spirit. If we're going to engage God's power, we've got to pray. One great preacher of old said, I would rather teach 10 men to pray rather than one man to preach. Isn't that incredible? Preaching without prayer is just going to be that. Just preaching, but preaching saturated with effectual prayer becomes a spiritual force that actually pierces the darkness. That's why I believe it was C.H. Spurgeon told a man, I want to show you the power plant of my church. And he thought he was talking about the furnace in the basement of that great church where so many people came to know Jesus Christ. But it was a Saturday night, and he took him down in that basement, and there was many of his parishioners gathered together praying. When someone else asked him, what is the secret of your success in evangelism? So many people come into Christ under your ministry. He said very simply, my people pray for me. So I want you to listen to this. Amen. In verse 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always. This is after he teaches on putting on spiritual armor, engaging the devil effectively, and overcoming him in spiritual warfare. Now, we put this into practice, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What he's saying is, I want to stand up boldly and proclaim the gospel. Pray that utterance may be given unto me. And that simply means to me that he wanted the Holy Spirit to take his words and find that target in the human heart, so that men and women who are blinded by the enemy, those eyes come open. Now I'm telling you today, this is a powerful gospel. We engage the enemy in direct, I'm going to call it hand-to-hand combat. I don't know anything else to say about it. When I start preaching Christ and Him crucified, I engage the enemy in spiritual warfare. When I determine in my heart that there's no ulterior motive to this ministry except seeing men and women set free, seeing God's people in victory, and seeing men and women set free and delivered from the prison house of darkness, I engage an actual spiritual entity. And I am not afraid to stand on God's word and fight this good fight, because we have seen spiritual breakthroughs down through the years. We've seen the enemy literally defeated, and we've seen men and women set free from some things that only God could do. There are no impossible situations with God. There's no one so bound with sin and blinded by the enemy that God can't illuminate and God can't set free. Praise God. This is a mighty spiritual force, and there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said unto that it's foolishness to many, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those whose eyes are not illuminated, but to us whose eyes have been illuminated. The Bible said of the gospel itself, anointed of the Holy Spirit, amen, it is the power of God. No wonder the devil wants to take the gospel down to an intellectual level of intellectual persuasion rather than effective evangelism, because he understands very clearly the power and potential of this gospel if it's saturated with prayer. Folks, I'm telling you today, if we will enter into that arena of prayer with our armor on, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a battle, and Jesus is going to win it every single time. And we're going to see captives set free. And folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing like the thrill of seeing someone blinded by the devil, bound by sin, prisoners of darkness, set free. And there's nothing like their testimony to touch other lives. Because when people see folk like that come to know Jesus and see them transformed and turned from darkness to light and from Satan to God, they don't have to say anything. Just following Jesus and going to church and living the life becomes a testimony that can't help but touch other people. Yeah, I don't know where you're coming from today. You may be a preacher that is finding it kind of boring Sunday after Sunday to stand up and preach and teach. And I'm going to tell you something, preacher man. I want you to know, preacher lady, amen, God was calling his ministry to pray and saturate our lives and our sermons and our people with prayer so that the Holy Spirit can get actively involved, amen, in pushing back the darkness, plundering hell, populating heaven. Praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus today, there's a battle for your soul. But there's a champion who's paid the price so your soul can be saved. And he sent his Spirit here. And we're preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And if you decide you want to receive Jesus today, it doesn't matter how strong the chains are that bind you. I declare unto you by the word of God, those chains will break, and you can call upon Jesus, walk out of your prison house today, and declare the mighty victory that is in Christ. And I pray you'll do that right now, right where you are. Just cry out to the Lord. Ask him to deliver you. Repent of your sin and say, Lord, save me. Change me. Transform my life. We love you today. Be sure and tune in next week and let's talk some more about the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ.